You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I am the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question. What if?
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of ToonCast. This is our 234th episode, and I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is one part of the BAM crew. It is the BAM crew's member, Allison, from the Superman and Lois tapes, done by Michael Bailey, along with Bethany. Hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I am good.
that sounds like there's a butt somewhere in there. Yeah, there probably is.
And we are welcoming you to ToonCast and the Geekcast Radio Network's hashtag Superhero Saturdays, because over the next 10 weeks, we will be giving you our spoiler-filled, your warning is now, and then I'll have the Joker warn you later, because I just think it's funny putting a DC villain in a Marvel show. These are going to be spoiler-filled discussions of Marvel Studios' new animated series, What If, on Disney+. So, Allison, let me ask you this. What if you never read a comic in your life? Who would you be?
Oh, wow. Probably.
See, this is why I didn't show you this part.
Probably a very boring person. Dang, a lot of my identity actually comes from Robin. So it's like, all right. I would probably be a completely different person that I can't even fathom existing in this reality. Which fits well with the show, honestly.
Yes, that was kind of the plan here.
Yes.
And for me, comic or cartoon, since this is actually our cartoon review show. If I had never watched cartoons, it doesn't matter if it's superhero or whatever, because let's face it, most people saw all the superhero cartoons of the late 60s and 70s in the middle of the 80s, at least most people my age anyway. I would be, like you said, I would be a, I don't even know. Yeah. No clue whatsoever. So as I said, we're here to discuss Marvel's What If Season 1, Episode 1. Have you read the comics before?
I know of the What If comics existing and what their concept was. I think I have one with Hawkeye somewhere in my cabinet box, but, I haven't, that's not one of my main pulls.
Yeah, no, I completely missed though, because I wasn't really into majorly into comics as a kid or as a young adult. Even now, I'm in the mid age at this point. Until I started my other show, The Pull Bag, about 8 years ago, I wasn't reading comics on the regular. So I had completely, like, we're probably going to have a whole month or two dedicated to the What If comics, because I just added like all the original volumes on Comixology to my wish list. So I think this is going to be cool. We're both kind of coming into this fresh. We know what the general gist is. It's basically, what if what actually happened didn't happen, and one thing, one change affected everything else and made a whole new universe.
But in another universe, a single choice created a whole new hero.
All this to make one super soldier.
Paris has fallen. London might be next. If this works, you could end the war. We mere mortals can only dream of doing such things.
Agent Carter, wouldn't you be more comfortable in the booth?
No, I'd prefer to stay.
There. That's the moment that created a new universe.
And I love that they're doing this. I love that it's animated. I think that is so cool.
Yeah, and their focus is primarily doing the MCU history as opposed mm-hmm. to the regular comic book history, because they're trying to make this accessible to fans who've only watched the movies and don't have any of the knowledge with the comic book side.
Right. And I think that is really cool. I think that's good. Even for us that have watched all 30 films, 28 films. I don't even remember now anymore. There's a lot of them, folks.
There is something. I think it's like 20-something, actually.
Yeah. Oh, it's 20, 22, 23. Yeah. See, it always gets confusing for me because everybody wants to lump in Incredible Hulk, the Edward Norton Hulk movie. And I'm like, the only reason why that's actually considered canon is because of the end credits scene. That's the only reason. And after all, that movie did something really... May the man rest in peace because he's been gone for a while, but that movie killed Stan Lee in his cameo. That was... Oh, you don't let Stan Lee drink poison soda?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's also actually used in some, like... In Avengers, when Tony mm-hmm. Stark does the whole blowout of Steve, Thor, and Hulk, those mm-hmm. are scenes from the Incredible Hulk playing on the video there, you know?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I think there's like one mention of something, but Bruce is basically, I think that's why his whole running away worked so well, because he's avoiding everything in his life from that moment. So it's right, not going to come back up for him.
Yep. What are your, if you can, I don't mind if we're here for a while, but what is your history with the MCU? Have you seen them all in theaters, or have you only seen a select few of them in theaters? Or what's your, how did your love of the MCU start?
Well, I do remember, you know, watching Iron Man's probably on TNT just mm-hmm. because I was a Robert Downey Jr. fan when I was younger, and I wasn't a Robert Downey Jr. fan when those first started coming out. I know for a fact that I saw Thor in the movie theaters because I was on a horrible date, but I was on a horrible date that went wrong.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I think the guy was a little upset because I was paying more attention to the movie than to him. Because I'm like, you took me to a comic book movie. There's a Hemsworth on the screen. There has a Hawkeye on the screen, mm-hmm. even though they don't name him. You know, I'm like, you're not that pretty. So
it's funny. Yeah, I remember 2008 very, very well. I saw both Iron Man and The Dark Knight in theaters. When it comes to Iron Man, for me, it's all about the old 1994 Fox Kids cartoon. Mm-hmm. And I've read some of the comics since the movie, but I was not an Iron Man reader kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And... outside of the MCU, the one crowning jewel, in my personal opinion, in Robert Downey Jr.'s filmography is Chances Are from 1989.
Oh, gosh. God, I have to now pull up IMDb and see if I can remember what movie.
It's him and Cybill Shepherd, and he dies and he comes back. It's basically Ghost, but it's a little funny.
Yeah, I think I remember. I do remember that. I don't remember having seen all of it, honestly.
Yeah, it was a little weird. Yeah. All right, Marvel. What if the basic premise here? And I know on your other show, your other Michael likes to do his own synopsises. I'm creative, but I'm not that creative.
Well, honestly, he's doing more of a treatment than he is a synopsis at that point.
That's true. him and his flow charts that Bethany wants him to do.
Hey, they're 12 away now from getting that one. 12 mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm.
Basically, What If explores the various alternate timelines of the multiverse in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they take, as we already said, one major moment in the first episode that we're going to talk about, because there is only one episode, and
yeah, we're kind of stuck on that one.
yeah, because like I was expecting to see, and I haven't checked all the comic book sites or anything like that, and I haven't checked all of Disney Plus and Marvel and all that. I haven't checked all the social media stuff. I was expecting to see like an episode title for the second episode, which is coming next week, and nothing yet. I'm sure it'll be out, but basically for the next 10 weeks on Wednesdays on Disney Plus, you're going to be able to watch Marvel What If. And the first one is Marvel What If Captain Carter were the first Avenger.
That was brilliant. Let's give it another go.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. I have to admit, I was all down for this one. I didn't know if I was going to like the style of the animation, but once you got to it, really see it on the screen, all moving together and not just those really short clips, you know, that really brought it home. I've loved basically it. For the entire time it was going, I just kind of was sitting in my bed. Well, I'm laying in bed bouncing. So.
Yeah, I. It's not. I don't want to say that it isn't true traditional animation, but it's not. It's not 3D. I mean, it is. You know what I mean? It's not. It's not complete CGI kind of stuff, or the style of it feels like a superhero cartoon versus something feeling like a robot cartoon or a Steven Universe or whatever. It specifically has its direction and style, and oh man, I love it. And I wasn't sure how they were going to work in Peggy getting the like what the choice was she was going to make. And obviously the choice is that she goes and takes the serum herself. And I find it funny that Steve stays skinny. I don't find I don't find it funny, but I find it ironic that because he got shot. I thought when the soldier shot him, I'm like, well, there goes Steve Rogers. He's dead. Like, literally, I thought he was going to die. I didn't realize he was, you know, he's just wounded at the time. And I'm like, oh, so that's the choice. And I got to say, I love Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher, as Uatu. That is awesome. Oh, yeah. His voice for the narration is amazing. What were your thoughts, like, the first couple of minutes into this thing?
I was always wondering where how Peggy got in the pod was going to be done. Because if they were keeping Steve there, that was the only reason Steve got into the army, was to go in that pod. Seeing that she jumped in, you know, just shows you her dedication to her to the country, you know, and to SHIELD. Though I think it was just SSR something at that point.
It was the SSR. Yep.
Yeah. So there's that. You also see that Steve becomes further disabled after the gunshot, which you see a little bit later. But I like that they didn't take away Steve's drive to do something. Mm-hmm. and that later in the episode it shows back up, but they kept their characters perfect from the way that core character essence of who they are, that stayed mm-hmm. completely true through the entire thing. And that really shows that whoever was writing these scripts and was writing, like taking the thoughts of going down this path of where they would go, really used, those characters and their personalities to guide those choices that they make next after the fraction point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's like one thing, like, what ifs, kind of like almost hinge a little bit on like fan fiction verse, because these are where people are coming up with ideas that are not, the original canon. So, right. And I love fanfic writers. That's where I started doing my own fiction writing. And that's how I always felt you knew who the real, writers within fandom were, is because they were able to find those essences of characters, and no matter what you did with them, when you changed their setting, their worlds, even if you changed their species, you still can look at that character and say, yes, that is Peggy. Who is Peggy Carter? That is Peggy Carter. Just from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Her character didn't really change from the main universe. She just made a choice where she was. Like, the whole thing with, you shouldn't even be in the room. The whole woman thing of those times and whatever else. I felt like I was watching an animated version of Agent Carter, which should have gotten a second season. But anyway.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, her character is, I think, where Hayley Atwell as the voice actress, because obviously she's the one that plays the character in live action as well. I think where she got to shine is once Peggy got the shield and the suit and all of that. And you can hear a little bit of, not necessarily difference, but obviously more excitement when she's out. She never had superpowers before. She was always just kick-ass Agent Peggy Carter, Mm-hmm. So when she has the shield, she's like, I love this thing, Where have you been all my life? And
where have you been all my life?
I know some fans...
I think she loves the shield more than she even loves Steve at this point.
Yes. I think some fans had said, I think I read somewhere on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere where they're like, they missed an opportunity on calling her Captain Britain. Isn't that a different character, though?
That is. There actually is a Captain Britain in comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's actually Lance from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The one that, the one who dates... Captain Britain is Dr. Brian Braddock. He's actually played by Charlie Adler, which means that he's been in a live adaption somewhere along the way.
Weird. Either way, I mean, Captain Carter works for me. I mean, I think that's just, because again, it goes into her whole thing, where the idiot, general or whoever he was, well, you're just an agent. Well, I guess you're going to have to promote me then, aren't you? Captain has a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
And that works. I thought that was her.
Yeah. She's not just Britain. She is been in America. She's fighting with the American army. So, yeah. She just happens to have been born in Britain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things where, I think what they were doing here is the same thing as what was done in the Agent Carter TV show. Obviously, men and women at that time were not considered equals, kind of thing. And they were trying to show that here. And obviously she shows him up as rightfully so as she should. She's a kick-asser.
Oh, yeah.
So
having the ability to become a physical kick-asser, you know.
Yeah.
I think that just the joy she has on her face as she's like running up beside the Nazi on the motorcycle and just like, you know, making a joke before hitting him. You know, Steve Rogers in comic books, not so much in MCU, has that same type of, you know, smart aleck attitude. So, you know, it's nice to see that on her where she's, you know, kind of always played a little serious, you know, kind of seeing her have fun and really just enjoying these abilities. You know, it's not like it's a duty to her, but it's not a it's not a burden on her. You know, she's happy doing this.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
As the episode goes on further, we get into this whole thing with Red Skull and basically, as we said, folks, it's a tipping point of, it's basically, as we said, what if Peggy Carter became the first Avenger instead of Steve Rogers? So it's basically Captain America, the first Avenger, as far as the overall plot. So there really is no spoiler there, except for one thing at the end, because, oh boy, that's not exactly what I was expecting. Yikes.
Not exactly what I was expecting either, but the other big spoiler then becomes, even though he's given a different name, Steve Rogers becomes the first Iron Man.
Yep.
So that was cute, even though it's more like Iron Giant, but it's still, you know.
Kind of, yeah.
For that time period, you know.
Oh, absolutely, I mean.
And of course Howard Stark is going to create an Iron Man, you know.
Of course he is.
Of course he's going to be. So. Yeah. So, you know, I think that means then that, you know, in S.H.I.E.L.D. somewhere, there is, in their this world, there is a rusting, you know, giant, you know, Iron Man Nazi stomper.
Yes. Yeah. I don't necessarily like the name Hydra Stomper. It's okay. It's not eloquent, but hello, he was literally stomping on the Hydra agents and all of that. And
yep.
I was not I wasn't expecting what happened with the Red Skull. I was like, okay, well, I guess there's no, you know, putting him on, you know, 40 years of suspended animation anymore. You just kill the guy.
Since when did dames fight like that? Since today, understood.
I love that Bucky and the rest of the commandos are like, oh, okay. Well, she's the leader. She's the this. She's the badass. They don't bat an eye at it.
Yeah, you had Duggan who is just like, so, you know, about the dames fighting, and then, you know, he watches her kick ass, and he's just like, okay then. And you're just like, yeah. Also, I was excited to actually see Bucky in the cage and not, you know, on the table.
And yes.
Because, you know, Bucky would have been on the table in the original instance, but I think that's because they captured Zola, you know, in that bit before. They never got to actually do anything to him.
Yep. Yeah, so Bucky doesn't, at least in this specific story, because this isn't, I did mention this at the beginning of the podcast, this is an anthology series, so the next episode isn't necessarily going to tie into this specific episode. They are all different moments in time within the Marvel Cinematic Universe that are taken, like I said, one choice changes everything. So I don't think, unless they decide to do a what if Bucky wasn't the Winter Soldier thing.
I want to think actually Bucky, there is going to be more of him because Sebastian Stan had so many things on his contract.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't be surprised if he's still working some of those off. He actually
did the voice for
Bucky. In fact, I think the only person who didn't revisit their original role was Chris Evans, because that's Josh Keaton voicing Steve.
Yeah, I was very surprised because I had seen the original trailer for this that they put out, and that was the first time I had seen it. It was the first time I'd learned about it, kind of thing. So I didn't know what they were going to do. And then I realized, oh, they're using some of the MCU actors, but not others. Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute, who's going to be Skinny Steve?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, as soon as I heard the voice, I'm like, hey, that's Josh Keaton. That's Green Lantern. That's Spider-Man. That's the dude that I interviewed like a decade ago, I think. Yeah, we did interview him, I think, back in 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
I forget, when did we do that interview? Anyway, yeah, no, I wasn't sure at first until I saw the credits. I was like, wait a minute, I think I know that voice, but I'm not sure.
And he did a really good job trying to get as close to Evans as he could. Because there were moments where I was like, is this Evans?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, there absolutely were moments of that, like, wait a minute. And then I think that Disney Plus or Marvel Studios or whoever, I think they're specifically not telling us who is voicing Tony because it isn't Robert Downey Jr. I know it's not. I can watch that trailer 1,000 times and tell you the guy saying Tony's lines is not Robert Downey Jr.
Wait, Tony's lines?
Yeah, in the trailer. The overall trailer for talking about the voice, the actress that returned but didn't, Robert Downey Jr. did not do those lines. I'm 95% sure that they have somebody else playing the voice of Tony Stark in this.
Well, and if I recall correctly, Endgame was the last piece of Downey and Evans and Hemsworth's contract.
Hmm. And okay.
Well, Hemsworth signed back on for more, but Evans and Downey are off contract now.
Hmm. That kind of stinks.
Yeah. Well, Black Widow movies, last one of Scarlett's.
Hmm. Yeah, that kind of stinks.
But that doesn't mean that they can't have a new contract signed if something comes up and they're available and want to do it.
True. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, you, especially when it comes to cartoons, as long as the voice makes an effort to do that, it can usually be fine. I mean, look at the difference between, Avengers Earth Mightiest Hero and then Avengers Assemble, which is supposed to be a continuation of Earth's Mightiest Heroes, because they do refer to a couple things in there. But some of the voices have changed, and you can kind of hear it, but at the same time, they're working really hard to try and emulate the voices from the previous one.
Yeah. I don't know. I know this is just a 10 episode, one season animated series, but because it is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That is incorrect information.
Really?
Yes. It is actually only a 9 episode season one because they have had to push one episode to season two.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that changed in a heartbeat. I was like, wait a minute.
When did that? They reported that a few days ago. They did that when they reported what the next two episodes of the Disney, of the What If episodes are going to be about. They don't have titles, but they fleshed out what they're about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on the 10th that,
wow,
that
I that read news. About it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's where it's
okay, then.
Producer Brad Winderbaum said there was an episode that just wouldn't hit the completion date, but luckily we do get to see it in the second season of the show. There's going to be another 9-episode run for season 2.
I see. No, okay. All right. Well, there you go, folks. 18 episodes.
Yep.
Now I just wonder when episode or season 2 is going to happen, because we know that it's the next 9 weeks. The reason why I originally said before we got the updated info was how I pitched having you on and having us do this was you're dying to do a Hawkeye podcast.
Oh yeah, I
arrives. So I'm like, hey, by the way, you show up and talk. I can do all the work, and you know, so. At some point, folks, over on Studio 2009, we'll do a Hawkeye show. But no, this first episode of What If, I thoroughly enjoyed it, from the animation to the voice acting, even the voices that are different. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I interviewed Josh Keaton back in 2012, so it's almost been 10 years. It'll be 10 years next year since I interviewed him. And I'm like, oh, I know almost everything that guy has voiced in the last 10 years. It's like, so cool. I'm like, and again, it's skinny Steve Rogers. Yes. It would be awesome if Chris Evans was here. He's not, we have to deal with it. It's fine. It's not like it's the end of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Is there other things you want to bring up? Is there other notes you took that you want to mention?
Okay. Should we mention the wonderful line that Bucky has on the train, or do we want to leave that as a secret to the audience?
Maybe I should just insert it right here.
Woo! Thanks. You almost ripped my arm off.
Yes. Yes. Because that was beautiful. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, I see what you did there. Uh-huh. But I also the way that Steve and Peggy end in that moment before Peggy goes on her time jump.
Yeah.
You know, that was beautiful, bringing that back to the moment where Steve was crashing the plane. That was a beautiful moment there.
That was so awesome. I guess we should also, since we are doing spoilers, we should also tell everybody the moment that this episode kind of jumped the shark with what Red Skull was hoping to...
Oh my God, well, yes.
What he wasn't necessarily hoping for that champion, but he was hoping for some sort of champion and... giant tentacle monster? Really?
Well, I was expecting, like, you know, the Chitauri to start coming through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, instead we got, you know, an actual Hydra. I don't know.
Yeah, I assume
Cthulhu? I don't know.
Oh, man. If it's Cthulhu, then now we can tie the Marvel Cinematic Universe to everything Cthulhu ever appeared in. Great. I don't know. And like I said, because it is an anthology story and this is specifically kind of tied to Captain America First Avenger, Captain Carter First Avenger, I kind of don't mind that the Red Skull is dead. I know that sounds bad, but that moment I was like, oh, well, wow, okay, no more him.
Well, you know, that's fine, because anyway, he's just going to end up, you know, going up to Vormir and, you know, being the Soul Stone, you know, person.
That's true. Yeah. You know, and then like you said, the whole tentacle thing, and the only way they could stop it is Peggy pushing it back. And
okay, I am a trained sword fighter, I have to say. And the fact that she just like pulls this sword, and mind you, she's also got the British origin. So, of course, you think of Arthur at that point, you know, pulling the sword out of a stone wall. you know, and then going to hacking at tentacles. I am just like, girl, yes.
Yeah.
I just want, like, you know, a fan art of that, just that cell from that animation for my wall, because that is like my fangasm moment there.
Yeah, absolutely. It is such a moment of holy crap. She just did what?
Yep.
So as I said, she pushes back the giant Cthulhu tentacle monster, whatever we're going to call it. And that's why. Okay. My brain is thinking, oh, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Oh, right. First Avenger was the 70-year mark. Duh. I'm thinking in today's terms. I'm like, wait a minute. It's been a lot longer than that. Like today after Endgame, but that's not when okay, I got it. Yeah. But it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, okay. So we get Samuel Jackson as Fury, and we get Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye.
Yay! Yep. I was so happy when I'm like, wait. Oh, we're going there. Hi, baby. How are you? Yeah, that's me when I was looking at the screen.
Ma'am, please put down the sword.
Sir? That's Captain Carter.
Where's Steve Rogers?
The war ended almost 70 years ago. You're going to be okay?
Of course. We won the war.
That's funny. Yeah. So yeah, she comes out and, oh, the war is over, we won, and we get the closing narration by Jeffrey Wright.
Her one choice gave birth to a whole new history and gave the multiverse a new hero. As for me, these are my stories. I observe all that transpires here, but I do not, cannot, will not interfere, for I am the Watcher.
I kind of feel sad for her in a little way of having that mm-hmm. be there, because some, you know, we see in MCU, you know, we have that ending where she goes back in time, where Steve goes back in time, and they have their happily ever after. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of the worlds, Peggy ends up married to Bucky.
Hmm.
You know, so that, and then Bucky, because these are the ones where Bucky didn't become Winter Soldier. So mm-hmm. this is where Bucky grows old and Peggy and him get married. Mm-hmm. Smiles. And, you know, you're kind of like, okay, well then do Steve and Bucky just get married? Because
No. You
know that those two are inseparable. So are they just going to do like the bachelor bro life for the rest of their life?
I think Sam might have something to say about that.
No, Sam would be happy because then that means that Bucky isn't going to be hitting on his sister.
That's true.
While I love a good Stucky story, which is the Steve Bucky ship, there is an amazing Winter Hawk community on AO3, and I just love popping through and reading their stuff with that, because it all that comes back to the Tales of Suspense issue 100, where mm-hmm. where Clint and Bucky team up to find out if Black Widow was alive post Secret Empire, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's like it is. If you thought Sam and Bucky were buddy cop, you need to go and read about Clint and Bucky. And then they come and revisit it again in the current run of Black Widow by Kelly Thompson in the first six issues. They revisit the bickerness between the two of them. And you're just like, yeah, you know, you two are married. That's it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am very excited. And the thing about the What If series, the animated series that we're now getting is, I blame the fact that I was watching the movies that made us earlier today. I was watching the Forrest Gump episode. Mm. This cartoon series is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So I'm very excited to see what kind of discussions we have over the next 8 weeks, because, man, it's going to be, if the other 8 episodes are as good as this one is, and I have no doubt that they will be, because I was surprised with this. Like you said, this is kind of like fan fiction writing a little bit, because you have to figure out what would happen if Steve Rogers did not become Captain America. And what they gave us was a compelling, emotionally driven, exciting action-adventure love story.
Yep. And they managed to cut the movie down to 33 minutes. So.
Yeah, I can't imagine if all 23 films were 33 minutes. Oh, boy, that would be.
That would be doable in a day.
Yeah, kind of. Probably would be.
Yeah, because it would only be maybe about 12 hours.
Yeah. I wish I could have been one of those people to go to one of those movie marathons where it's like, hey, get ready for this by coming to the theater and spending all day and all night watching all of the movies up until whatever the one that was currently being released at the time.
Endgame. That was for Endgame.
That's right. It was for Endgame. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, no, my auditory nerve would have died probably within the fourth one, because I can enjoy movie theater still, but mm-hmm. for some reason, the levels of noise that I hear, there are times where, like, if there's like a loud high pitched noise within explosions and such. Mm-hmm. That will actually, like, really aggravate my ear, and I can't hear. So I've started taking, you know, either disposables or a hard set of earplugs with me. So that way I can still enjoy it and not have that vibration level in my ear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, no, I could not do 22 movies in a row. That I just would not physically have been able to sit through it. Just with my ear issues alone.
Yeah.
Not to mention I probably fall asleep during Dark World, so.
I think everybody fell asleep during Dark World.
Yeah.
And honestly, Hemsworth or no Hemsworth, I did not like the first two Thor movies. I don't know.
I think they tried to be a little bit more high level than they should have. I think they should have enjoyed the more comedic side that they did when they decided to go full Kirby.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, at the same time, I feel that when they are in Ragnarok, that the play that goes on between Matt Damon and I can't remember who the other person is on the stage playing Thor. But I think that is them actually making fun of the previous two movies and the seriousness of them.
Probably is.
Yeah.
I personally cannot do a show like this without mentioning not only the music from the trailer, which I did link to you on Twitter. I'll have to send you the link for what I'm about to talk about in a second.
Okay.
But they are releasing Laura Karpman. Did I say that right? Yeah. Laura Karpman is the composer for the What If series, and they are releasing episode soundtracks on Spotify. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the first one. There are 17 tracks here. Oh, I it's one thing for me I love doing is I just love putting my headphones on after I've seen a movie or whatever it is. And if the music within the movie hits me a certain way, the score of it, not necessarily, you know, an actual song, like a soundtrack song. But if the score hits me, I need to experience it outside of the movie, and I love doing that.
Yeah.
And the music for this episode was so good. Like, yeah. I honestly thought Brian Tyler or somebody or whatever was back. And I was like, wait a minute. Because the person who did the trailer music for the What If trailer is different from Miss Cartman here.
Yeah.
Who did I believe she's doing the score for the whole series. Mm-hmm. So each week I will mention the score and stuff, even though sadly, can't put music in podcasts because, oh my God, record companies.
Yeah, you have to do 3 seconds or less.
Yeah, even then, sometimes you get hit, which, so I don't even do. I won't do it anymore. Just can't.
You could try to hum it on a kazoo, because then you're making your own, because you're not hitting all the right notes.
Yeah, sadly, the kazoo wouldn't even hit the right notes for me. Okay, so just before we get out of here, some expectations or some future for your what if kind of thing. Did this episode keep your interest throughout? Was there a moment where you were like, that's not so great?
No, honestly, it's the right length. It's an amazing story. The characterization and voices are completely on point. And I honestly would have been happy watching them just redo the entire 2-hour movie in this format with what they had going, because it was that good.
Yeah. I think we both know that the answer to the next question is yes. Are you itching to watch the next episode now? Well, of course.
Yeah, and well, I'm excited for it for another reason, which I'm sure you'll agree with. The next episode is the one what if T'Challa became,
Star-Lord.
Yeah. Yep. And it's Chadwick's last performance.
Last performance, yes.
And so I am really excited, because the idea of T'Challa being taken and instead of having this life of like the strict, rigidness of growing up a prince, and instead, the wild west of space,
yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see how they do his character development while keeping true to who he was as a child.
Yeah.
And also what that might entail, because we know that the reason that Peter was taken in the first place was to go back to Ego, his dad. And so what is that going to mean about T'Challa's lineage at this point? Because is that going to be the fraction point where, it wasn't Peter's mom, but it was, the queen of Wakanda.
Yeah.
getting it on Zeus style with somebody and pretending to be her husband, So it'd be interesting to see, how they take those moments of what makes up Star-Lord and reinserts them on T'Challa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what that one is, because again, like you said, I always find it, even now, like, if people have passed, I usually can't watch. Like, if they, like, for example, when Alex Trebek passed, I still hadn't caught up with the Jeopardy episodes that I had on my DVR that he was still the host. He was still alive, kind of thing. So same kind of thing here with Chadwick. It's like, oh man, but he's no longer. What if we like this so much that we say, not that we're going to say this, and we probably should avoid saying this. Oh man, I want to see more of him doing that, because obviously we can't, because he's no longer with. That's the thing about releasing things posthumously, is like, yay, he has one more thing to give us, and that's awesome, because he was such a giving person, and the way he played T'Challa was amazing. Like, I can't see anybody else playing that role now.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, also, look at how technology is changing. Look at the Star Wars movies for what they did to, and with the Mandalorian, with, you know, not only de-aging, but they were able to create lines of dialogue for people who have been gone. Or had recently passed by taking their dialogue from all the previous instances in that, you know, franchise, and building a sound library to be able to do that. And, you know, it would come down to the Bosman family on whether or not they would want that to happen for Chadwick's voice to continue being for T'Challa in the animated side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of think that it would be, in one way, you know, it would be a great way for his legacy as T'Challa to continue. But in the other hand, they're actually, they've had a person who's going to be voicing T'Challa in the Avengers video game. Mm-hmm. And he is really good. Like, he's maybe like only a decibel or two off from being the voice that we think of when we think of Black Panther.
Very cool.
So I'm like so excited for the Wakanda expansion to be released in 4 days from our recording date. So, well, 3 days from when the airing date is.
There you go.
So I'm like really excited for that, because they have put a lot of hard work into this Wakanda expansion, and I'm going to just be blown away. I already know, because they've put the things that they've released so far, with just the mapping and the world and the attention they're putting into the costumes and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to see. I follow a guy on YouTube called The Rad Brad, and he does playthroughs of video games and things like that. And I watched his playthrough of the Avengers game and the Spider-Man games and everything else. I'm like, oh, that is really, really cool. So it's going to be interesting for when I get to see that, for when he starts that up again, if he's going to do it. All right, final thing. This is a 0 to 5 scale with half points. What would you rate this episode, 0 to 5?
Right now, with what we've seen and the fact I'd be happy to have a 2-hour version of it, I'm going to go for 5. I mean, there really wasn't anything I could critique on.
Yeah, the only critiques I have are really, really small, insignificant little things, because of how I am, and I'm not a monster guy. I'm just not. I'm not. I was 5 years old when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, and Freddy Krueger scarred me for life. I have a healthy respect for the horror genre, but it's just not my thing. And some of the tentacle stuff on this monster, I was like, ugh. But at the same time, that doesn't take away with every other good thing that this first episode, that this story of this anthology series did. So I am also going to give it a 5. We are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear from our buddy Wes Howard from Poppin' Off Toys, because I made him do a promo for his shop and website. So we will be back after this.
And it's right down the street from me.
That's right. She stalks him every day. Not really. I'll cut that out, obviously.
No, you don't have to. He knows that.
Hey, it's Wes from Poppin' Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about poppinoffToys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, poppinoffToys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
All right, we are back here on Tooncast. Anything else you want to say? Anything you have to promote? Anything going on in your life you want to let these lovely listeners of mine and ours, now that you're on this show, know about yourself?
Well, we have Dragon Con in 3 weeks, and if you are going to brave the con crud that may be Delta shaped, you may be able to find me. I'm going to be doing a couple of different panels. I teach writing workshops in the hourly writers workshop, track. I'm also going to be doing a Superman and Lois, panel. I'm going to be doing a Discovery of Witches, the television show panel. And I am going to be doing, with the Apocalypse track, I am going to be doing Aliens versus Zombies, which is a fun, semi-drunken what-if of its own, where we pull an alien type and a zombie type out of a hat, and also like a setting, and then we decide who's going to win in the battle of aliens versus zombies based on the setting and the two types of creatures.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been doing this at the Apocalypse track for 3 years minus COVID year. Unless we did do it COVID year. Did we do COVID year? I don't think I was on it during COVID year. But yeah, we've had fun with this. It's usually more towards the Dragon Con at dark times, because we have found that that adult beverages help with the deciding factors. So you can find me in the panel guide or on the app as Allison Sky Richards, and come say hi. Tell me all about how you guys are feeling about this show, what you would love to see on the upcoming Hawkeye, one that I'm going to be doing here with Mike.
And, absolutely.
Yep.
And of course, I asked him for this, but he hasn't sent it. So whether it's in here somewhere or not, folks, you can also check out Allison every week-ish, at least for the next week or two.
When I'm not on secret missions.
Well, yes, but you had to complete your education. So that's, you know.
Yes.
So you can catch Allison along with Michael, Bailey, and Bethany over on the Superman and Lois tapes from the Fortress of Baileytude podcasting network. And now I get to run through this outro for our show, because I haven't done this in a long time.
Oh, wow.
All right, Toonsters, as always, we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow at GCRN Tooncast for the show, or Tooncast Beyond. That was the sequel show to the show, but that show ended because I restarted this show, if that makes any sense. I will only say that at this point. I'm not saying that in the future. I'm, of course, at TFG and Mike. Allison, what is your Twitter if you'd like to give it out?
It is Ali Sky Richards, A-L-I-S-K-Y-R-I-C-H-A-R-D-S.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also search out TuneCast, All Tunes All the Time over there, as well as the Superman and Lois tapes. And I think Michael also has Fortress of Baileytude over there. I don't know. Maybe
Fortress of Baileytude is the overall.
Yeah, I know.
Umbrella, yeah.
I just don't know if he actually has an overall page over there. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our spoiler-filled thoughts on Season 1, Episode 2 of Marvel Studios' What If? For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Allison Richards.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, and unleash the tune in you.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of It's like I had a hair in my mouth. What the hell? See, I haven't done this specific one in a while.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yep. Good, because we don't have all day.
Yay!
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.